perhaps it would be kedai, to sort of make a chasima for this time, this week and next week, since to begin the seventh parak without being able to finish it might not be seichel, and it would be important to see how the Torah of the Maharal that we've been learning, this Torah that we've been learning, especially the last few prokim, how it materializes in the Svar Makadosh from the Talmud of Al Shem Tov, and particularly in the Shita of the Alter Rebbe of the Baal Tanya. So, if possible, I would like to learn Perek Lamed Hei and Lamed Vav in Tanya. And probably most of you, all of you, have Tanyas. If not, you should be ashamed of yourself. But if, so I focused that just because I don't want to. But maybe if next week, if you just bring a Tanya if you have. But try to learn Perek Lamed Hei and Lamed Vav. Of course, you know, the Baal Tanya was a descendant of the Maharal, Yadur. And there's no question about the influence of the Torah of the Maharal, which there's a Kabbalah that when the Alter Rebbe says in his introduction to Tanya that what he's saying, he's just malakim, he's not really nothing of his own, just what he gathered from others, which is not the case. So there's a Kabbalah that when he spoke about, he meant the Ikka, he meant the Shalach HaKadosh and the Maharal. The Ikka, and of course, Mr. Jamagin Baal Shem, but in terms of the Kadmoinim, that he meant the Shalom and the Maral. But here it's going to be Alderach HaChassidus. Alderach HaChassidus, but there's nobody as clear and as concise as the Tanya, and if we had the time, we would spend at least 6 months on these two prokim, Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav. So we're just going to spend 2 weeks in Mitzvah Shem, but to go through it, at least to familiarize ourselves.
Everyone stay here over the summer, will be here.
Yeah, I'll talk to my wife. I don't think that'll go. So let's learn. V'hine mutaisis bia tevas la'asaisa. Now the Tanya has been explaining the whole Sefer Shalbeinim, the first 12 chapters, and then until the end of this, the first Chalik 53, the Tanya is explaining. That every Jew, every single Jew, even though to be a tzaddik might be something which is beyond one's imagination or reach, but everybody could be on the level of what's called the Beinoni, which is not what you would think, does not mean somebody who's mediocre, but everybody could be on this level that's called a Beinoni. That it's very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, so to accomplish this, to become such a Jew that never ever does an aveir, that observes every mitzvah, every single seif katan in Shulchan Aruch, every single thing, and to be this kind of a Jew. So he's explaining here in fact Lamed Hey the Indian of La Soisai. The Gamlahovin Ma'atmi Zeir, Tachlis Brias Habainanin. The question that the Rebbe's talking about here, that the Rebbe's talking about is Bechlal, why did the Baruch Shalom create these neshamas? Why did Hashem create the souls of these Jews whose entire life is mamish a struggle? Whose life is a struggle? Why did their neshamas descend into this world to become enclosed in the animal soul that comes from the klipa, from the husks, the shells, the sitra'achra on the other side? Since most of these people who have not destroyed the Yetzirah, most of us, we'll go like that till 120, we're going to go. A tzaddik, like David HaMelech, who said, Libi cholol v'kirbi, that my heart has been emptied of all that's evil. Or a tzaddik like Yitzchak Avinu, these are not born every day. So most of us are going to spend an entire life in this struggle with the Sitra Achra of the other side. And the Tanya is asking, so why did the Baruch Shalom take this neshama tahira? Why did he take a pure soul? and put it into a losing proposition. That there's a struggle that the person will never finish during his life. With the exception of the tzaddik, there is such a thing as the tzaddik, but with the exception of the tzaddik, this nefesh ha-bahamas, the animal soul, is strong. The entire life of the person, that's what he says here. Throughout life, the sveikas, the doubts, the questions, the constantly being on guard and so on, will never be able to send this away. The nefesh ha-bahamas, kol yimeihem, v'lidchaisam im kaima, to drive it away. The cholol ha-smayli shebelev, from the left side of the heart. Which pikavola, the left side of the heart, is the seat of the animal soul. Shloyalu mimenu hirhurim al hamayach. His entire life, there are going to be thoughts, negative thoughts, inappropriate thoughts, questions, doubts that are rising up from that left side of the heart to haunt the person, to torment the person. Kimahusa v'atzmusa shel nefesh ha-bahamas. Because throughout the entire life of the Beinoni, of this Jew who's not a tzaddik, throughout the entire life of the average, of the regular Jew, the nefesh of Bahamas, the animal soul, remains with its original strength. The sokpa ugvurosa etzlam kitaldasa. Mamish kitaldasa, the way that it was originally when this person came into existence. So too, throughout his life, the nefesh ha-bahamas remains with its original koyach, with its original strength. Rak shelevusheha eina mislabshim begufam kenal. In other words, what the Tanya is saying over here is that basically, throughout life, the nefesh ha-bahamas remains with the animal soul remains with its original intensity and strength. The only difference is that as one matures, as one grows, there's a shinui of its surah. It's manifested in different ways. So emotional. So a little child is crying for a toy. A little child is crying for a toy, and we look at the little child. Sacharachmanis, he's crying on a little car, but he can't find his little car. So when a person grows older, he cries over a big car. And the adults think that the child is so silly, it's so immature that he's crying over a little car. And the children look at the adults crying over their big cars. So what the Tanya is saying over here is that the person throughout life generally, the human being is not, the Jew is not Ms. Gabra on that Nefesh Bahamas. He doesn't eradicate or eliminate the animal soul. It continues to pursue him. However, whereas when he was a child, it had the levushim, it was enclosed in the garments of what the things that seemed to be silly, things that seemed to be insignificant. As he grows older, that taiva, that desire, it now is wearing a different tzura, a different garment, but it's the same taiva. So the kinna, taiva, and kavod, that's definitely Pirkei Avos. So the children are just less sophisticated. So the kinna, the jealousy will come out. You know, befeirish, mommy, how come you took my thing, you didn't take his thing. You know, these kind of things. The kinna and taiva, give me this. I want this toy. I want this. I want that. And kavod, a child feels that he was not treated properly, and so on. And with adults, also kinna, taiva, kavod, it has different devotion, but it's the same. It's the same kayach of the sitrach of the other side. It's the same kayach of the sitrach. What's what he means? Rak shilavu sheha einem eslab shem begufam kenal v'im kain. So the Tanya asks, lo mazeh yardu nishmoseim, loylam hazeh. Ligol arik, chas v'sholom. It seems like it's an effort in futility. It's totally futile. That I'm a person is 120, until what? Until maybe he's so old that he doesn't have any tivus anymore. But the emes in truth, but in truth, the truth is that one feels after all of the years, he's in this constant state of tension. He still has no menucha. He has no rest from the basic problem of that side of evil that's within him. So the Tanya is in.
What's the tachlis? Now this That's what he says to him. It's a terrible feeling for a person to be in a war his entire life and not to feel like he's gained any territory, not to feel like he's gotten anywhere.
Just, we haven't seen it. Is he saying that the tzaddik does not have this? In his
tzaddik does not have it, but that's a very big subject. We're not talking about that now. We're talking about us. The tzaddik does not have this. He might have had it earlier, but doesn't have it anymore.
Might have had it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She says, to fight this constant war with, he feels he's going to lose. Basically, he's never going to get any. He's never going to conquer that territory. He's never going to win. He's never going to be free of the enemy. That's what he says. Chashom hilachim kol yemehem im hayetzer. And he's not able to defeat the Yetzar. Fatihi zois nechamosam lanachamam bekiflayim lisashiyah l'samech libam b'Hashem ha'sheich nitam b'serich terosam avadosam. Let this chapter, what I'm going to say now, let this be a comfort and a consolation. Let this strengthen and be m'samech and bring joy to the hearts of these Jews with their learning and with their avodas Hashem. She's going to now explain what's the tachlis of our neshamas coming to this world if we never seem to be victorious in this war, in this struggle. Now remember, we'll be talking about, and you'll see in a moment why is it that I wanted to learn davka these two prokem specifically lamed hay in order to understand what we've been learning in the Maharal. That we spoke about this in general. Many people, especially if you hear what Eastern religion is offering, beloved davke, Christianity as well, that faith is being sold as something. Faith is being sold as something that will bring a person to a state of shalvas hanefesh, menucha, right? In other words, it's going to bring me a peacefulness, and you know all the advertisements, you know, like a nice sunset and now that you're a religious person, you're able to be in love with someone, and you know, walking down the beach, holding hands, and you know, and this whole picture of faith being able to bring a solution to the inner struggle of the person, to the struggles of life. Be'emes is just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, wrote about this Al Derech Chabad in The Lonely Man of Faith. And in all of his writings, Isha Halacha also, that the emes is that because of emuna, because of faith, it's one's faith that causes one to be in this constant battle and in this struggle. Ad kedei kach, that if a person thinks that everything is okay, it's a simon that he's in a state of timtum alei, that his heart has been dulled. Or in the terminology of the chassidim, that the Rebbe Rabbunim was once saying, I might have mentioned to you, or the Chayza, I think the Rebbe Rabbunim once said, Erev Yom Kippur, that a Jew should feel like he's standing with his head by the guillotine, and that the executioner is standing there, and he's waiting for the order, he's about to let go of the blade. Huh? Tluyim v'omdim, right. Right, that's what he said, Pshat, Tluyim v'omdim, right. So he's standing mamish there, the execution is about to take place. So there was a chassid there that says, but Rebbe, what happens if I don't feel that way? So the Rebbe says, it's a simon that they chopped your head off already. It already happened, that's all. If you don't feel that tension, if you're a muna, if your belief does not bring you to this war, to this milchama, to this struggle, so the tzaddik was saying, it's a simon that your head was chopped off, meaning that the whole essence of one's emunah is that it causes this milchama. But the Tanya is talking about this milchama, Aleph. Beis, we spoke about this ba'arichas, and that's what the Tanya is going to address here when we're learning the Maral. That nowadays everything is not measured by the mitzias. Things are not measured by the emes, by the mitzias, by reality, by the truth. The question nowadays is everything is measured from a psychological point of view, right? Eich ani margish. How do I feel? How do I feel? We were joking. I might have mentioned this when we were doing the Maral. I don't know. But we have the yearly. I mentioned this. We have the softball game. This year we didn't have it because the way Shavuos came out. But we have the softball game from the shul. The guys. So we have a couple of psychologists in the shul. So a couple of the fellows were sitting there when the psychologist got up, you know, to bat. So he wasn't hitting anything, you know, except the air. So after he missed the first pitch, so one of the fellows called out, "How do you feel about that?" How does that strike make you feel? No, and the whole sprach these days, the whole question is one of psychology. How does this make you feel? And this, Rabbi Yisai, is what the Tanya is going to talk about. The choice that a human being has. This is the essence of one's bechira. The essence of one's free choice is: do you want the thing itself, or do you want the way the thing makes you feel? Do you want the emes itself? Do you want the emes itself, or do you want to feel some sort of pleasure as if it's the emes? What we were talking about, do you want, and what the Maharal was talking about, do you want kirvas Hashem? Do you really want closeness to God, or do you want to just feel close to God? Because then you can go out to the store and buy those books about, you know, spiritual happiness each day of your life, whatever. There are a million books like this. Do you want kirvas Hashem, or do you just want to feel kirvas Hashem? And even in your relationships with people, do you want to love someone, the emes, or do you just want to feel that you're in love? This is a very basic question of bechira. What are you looking for? Are you looking for the etzem hadavar, for the thing itself, or are you looking for the feeling of something? And this question, when it comes to belief, when it comes to avodas Hashem, is crucial for each and every one of us. So now, the Alter Rebbe begins to explain, we're bringing a piece of the Zohar that's coming up in Parshas Balak. There's a half a dika Zohar there. There's the lashon of the Yanuka, of the child. In the Zohar Kaddish, there's a mysterious child. The Yanuka, who's, one place says that he was 5 years old. He was in the Kolotar Kula, he knew everything. And the tzaddikim would come to ask him questions. This child, the Yanuka. So we have the lashon of the Yanuka in Parshas Balak. Our posuk, it says on the posuk, so that's what he's bringing. Vuhu behaktim lashon ha-Yanuka. Our posuk ha-chocham einav b'roishai. It says in the posuk, ha-chocham, the wise man, einav b'roishai, his eyes are in his head. So the Zohar asks, the Yanuka asks, v'chi ban osi inui, Inoy de Barnash, where should the eyes of a person be, if not in his head? Ella Krahachihu Vadai. He says, Tnan Loyach Barnash Begili Reisha Arba Amis. A person should not go with his head uncovered. A man should not walk with his head uncovered, even for Amis. Right? He should be careful not to go with his head uncovered. My timer, why is that? That he should never go with his head uncovered? The Shchinta Shar Yal Reshe, because the Shchina, the Divine Presence, is resting upon the head of a Jew. The Kol Chocham Inohi Umiloi Bereshe Inun Bahu De Shari VeKayoma Al Reshe. So the Zohar is explaining how Chocham Einav Bereshe, the wise man, his eyes are always focused on what Bereshe, which means on the Shchina, which is resting upon his head. That's the meaning of Chocham. Hachacham einav b'roisho, the wise man's eyes are upon his head, meaning the Shechina. Be'ahu d'shayi v'kayoma al reishe, v'kad inoy tamon linda d'ahu nohera d'adlik al reishe, isterech l'moshcha begin d'gufa d'baynosh ihu psila u'nohera adlik l'eila. He says that a person must know, every Jew has to know, that light, that light that is shining upon his head, that light of the Shechina that is shining upon the head, it's darach lamashcha begin the gufa. It's darach lamashcha. It has to have shemen. It has to have oil. It has to be provided with oil to keep it lit. Begin the gufa de barnash ihu psila, because the body of a Jew is like the wick. Is like the wick. Unahayra adlik la'ela. And the point is, how do I cause this Shechina, the Divine Presence, to stay lit upon my head? Hachocham ena b'roishai. B'shloima malka tzovach v'omar v'shemen al roishcha al yechzar. So Shlomo HaMelech screamed, and he taught us, that what? V'shemen al roishcha al yechzar. That you have to provide the candle, you have to provide this with enough oil. Oh, the only way that it will stay lit, is if there's oil. Meaning that Shechina will shine from the person's head is if there's oil. Because the light that is shining, the candle, the wick that is burning, the wick is the human, is the body of the person, the candle, that light requires, it needs the oil. And what is the oil? So now the Zohar Kodesh identifies the oil, and this is what makes a Jew different. The oil is what? Maisim Toivim. Mitzvahs and Maasim Toivim. The 613 mitzvahs and Maisim Toivim, good deeds. Meaning Shmir Sa mitzvahs. Well, Derech HaChocham Einav Bereisha. And that's the meaning of HaChocham Einav Bereisha, that the eyes of the Chocham are focused on his head, which means that the Chocham is always seeing to it that he provides enough oil, which means mitzvahs and Maasim Toivim, to make sure that what? That there will be that which will fuel the, to keep the candle burning, that the light of the Shekhinah should be upon his head. That's what it says in the, that's what the Yenukah said in the Zohar. Vihine bir moshel zeh. To understand the moshel of the Yenukah. Shehim shil or ha-Shekhinah l'or ha-ner. That he compared the light of the Shekhinah, of the Divine Presence, the light of a candle, that just like with the candle, the light can't burn unless there's nachiz, it has something to grasp, it has something to hold on to, right? It's holding on to the, it's holding on to the wick, and the wick itself must be fueled by the shemen, and it cannot, the flame cannot stay attached, cannot hold on to the wick without the oil. Bekach ein hashchina shayra al gufa adam shenimshal lepsila. So too, Hashem's presence cannot be attached to a Jew, and the body of the Jew is like the candle. Bekach ein hashchina shayra al gufa adam shenimshal lepsila ela aydei maisim toivim davke. It doesn't say learning. It doesn't say davening. It says maisim toivim, physical acts of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs and maisim toivim. And this is the wonder that the Tanya is asking. This is a Pella. Why does the Shekhinah, in order for the Shekhinah to be attached to the Jew, why does the Shekhinah have to have this, why does there have to be this oil that's of mitzvah samasim toivim? Why isn't it possible? Sof kol sof, there's a neshama inside each and every one of us, there's a chelek elokomimal, there's a neshama lakis, there's a nefesh lakis, there's a godly soul that's inside each and every Jew. Why isn't that neshama that comes from the highest world, that's inside of him, why isn't that neshama enough to light that candle of the Shekhinah? Why is it necessary to, what seems to be, to descend into the world of physical mitzvahs, of tayag mitzvahs? Why isn't it enough to love God, and to fear God, and to be thrilled by Hashem, and to feel, to close your eyes and to have deep spiritual connections to Hashem and so on? According to the Zohar Kodesh, according to the Yenukah, you could have the most wonderful feelings in the world. But without Maasim Toivim, without Mitzvahs and Maasim Toivim, there's no fuel. And you're deluding yourself. There is no candle that's lit above your head. Why is that? Why can't the Neshama provide the fuel? The Neshama is inside each and every one of us. And the neshama gives the person, the soul gives the person the ability to love and to fear Hashem and to learn and to daven and so on. Which are also, of course, maisim toivim. But I'm saying, but just that feeling alone of ahava, of loving Hashem and of being attached to Hashem, the Yenukah is saying that that's not enough. That without physical mitzvahs, without mitzvahs and maisim toivim, that candle, that flame cannot be attached to the Jewish body, cannot be attached to the candle. It won't work. Why? Why won't it work? So the Rebbe says, that's what he's saying, Shanim shalup shil el alayde maisim toivim davke v'lo daylo b'nishmoso shichelek elukom imal. The neshama itself is not enough that this candle should stay lit. How come the neshama is not a good, neshama does not provide the oil? Neshama is the oisiyas, hashemen, right? So you would think that the neshama should be able to provide the oil? No. Dafke is something very, very plain. Mitzvahs Samasim Tovim, you know, the a pair of tefillin, a mezuzah. Helping somebody, giving somebody a lift to the station. And without that, with all of the feelings that you have, the Shekhinah is not lit above your head. You could make pictures of halos of you all you like, and you could say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh and with your eyes closed, but it ain't happening. So Tanya speaks about this. Is mavur umuv on the kol maskil? It's understood by every intelligent person. Kihine nishmas ha'odam, the soul of a Jew, afilu hu tzadik gomer, even if it's a tzadik, a complete tzadik, oyved Hashem biyira v'yahava, who serves Hashem, who feels great love and great awe and fear, b'tanugim, that madreg, that level of love that's called ahava b'tanugim, which I'm not going to go into right now, but a very awesome feeling of love and attachment to Hashem, afal pichein. Now what he's saying here is the yisoid of Chabad Chassidus, and we have to understand, because it's the oimik of what the morale is saying, it's the pnimius of the morale. This tzaddik is filled with love and fear of Hashem, and he says afal pichen, and nevertheless ein debetela b'mitzias legamrei, it is not completely nullified in its own existence, libotel, to become nullified, v'likolel, and to become kolul, become included, to become bottled to the Ba'or Hashem Mamish, Lias La'achodim Umiyuchodim B'yichud Gomer. The Rebbe is saying is that this person, even though he feels the most unbelievable love and fear of Hashem, he is not one with Hashem. This person is not, a human being is not one with Hashem. Vakudover Bifnei Atzma. Even though he's a tzaddik, he's separate. He's his own, he has his own existence, and he's separate from Hashem. Yirei Hashem. Yeah, he loves God, he fears God, and he loves Him. What's the Tanya saying over here? The Tanya is explaining. There's a maimer from Kotzke. It's for the Chiddushim Sfasem, as they all said it, but I think it was from the Kotzke. And the pasuk says, "Va'anoichi." It's brought on the oldest one. "Va'anoichi oimed ben Hashem uveinechem." Right. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I stand between you and Hashem." Right. "Va'anoichi oimed ben Hashem uveinechem." I stand between you and Hashem. But Kotzke. The Kotzke said that the anoichi, the ego of a person, the I, the anoichi, that sense of I, of me, stands between a Jew and Hashem. That means we're not talking here about gaiva. That's in a very, very coarse and unrefined person, gaiva. Not about conceit. We're talking about the very existence, even in a tzaddik, he's saying, the existence of the sense of I, of me, because as long as I am I, if this is I, then it's not him, it's not who. If I have a sense of my own existence, if it's me, if it's I, then it means it's not Hashem. It means a person, a human being, is capable of reaching, the highest heights. But when he gets to that place that's called the 49th gate of Bina, of understanding, right? That's where he stops. Even Moshe Rabbeinu. When you get to that place, why? Because to go beyond that means that you're no longer a human being. It's after death. Even Moshe Rabbeinu. You're no longer a human being. Because it comes to a certain point that if you reach that point, you're no longer a human being. So, we're not talking here about gaiva. Even about conceit, even the tzaddik who loves Hashem, and the tzaddik who fears Hashem, self-kosov, it's I love Hashem. Ani ohev. Ani yorei, the I, me. I love Hashem. Or I, as a separate being, I fear Hashem. So at this point, as long as these are two separate existences, there's the I love Hashem. I love Him. I love him. You know that Rabbi, it's famous, that Rabbi Levin, the tzaddik from Yerushalayim, when he went to the doctor, his wife wasn't feeling well, he says, "Doctor, my wife's foot is hurting us." Right? My wife's foot is hurting us. Because he identified so entirely with his wife, and he loved her so deeply, that he no longer had in that relationship with his wife, a separate existence. So my wife's foot is hurting us. So as long as a person perceives that, even if his avodas Hashem, even that tzaddik, as he perceives of what, that there's still, as long as there's this perception that there's still some feeling, some regish, of some sense of I and him, even though that's such an edel, it's such a sublime and subtle feeling of self. We're talking about a tzaddik. But the bottom line is, that even though it's such an edel thing, like Ahavas Hashem, like love of Hashem, these emotions, these feelings, cannot provide the oil to keep the Shechina attached to the, cannot provide the oil to keep the Shechina attached to the person. It's still part of the psila, of the wick. Because what is the wick? The wick means you, your physical life. Anything that's connected to I, to me. You see, in Ruchnius, in when something is completely spiritual, it has no physical existence, and it cannot identify with anything outside of God. It only identifies, right? It's just like a drop that's part of the ocean. But as long as I exist and he exists, and this is a good guy, I love him, I fear him, I serve him, and so on. But as long as it's I and him, and it's no longer just him and me being included in him, so that's still from the world of the wick and of the candle. It cannot provide the oil to keep that candle, burning, because it's still part of the ani, of the me, of the I. It's still separate. So he explains, this is when it comes to all the emotions you might have in the world, all the feelings you might have in the world, as wonderful as they are, like the kind that we were talking about in the Maral, that the Baruch Shalom was merciful, and he gave us such nice mitzvahs, right? And to make me into a better person. All the things, you remember that the Maral says that the bottom line, the Maral is saying over and over, the bottom line is a Gzeiras Hashem. Now why? And all of us were bothered by that, right? It hurt us. Why is the Maral, and even though at the end he said, don't think the Chas V'Shalom, I mean that you shouldn't, he's not saying, I'm not saying Chalila, that you shouldn't, that you shouldn't be aware of Hashem's love, and so of course. But why does the Maral say over and over again that these are gzeiros and you have to keep them because they're gzeiros? So the Rebbe explains, this is different when it comes to mitzvahs and ma'asim toivim, to actual mitzvahs, to physical mitzvahs. A mitzvah is not man expressing himself. A mitzvah is not my idea of what I feel, what I want to do. That's not what a mitzvah is. That's why the Maral was screaming about this, that the underlying root of a mitzvah is not how I feel about it. Because he says, "Mashenken a mitzvah somasim tayvim shehin mitzvah yisbarach." What is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is not an expression of your ego or of yourself, even a very, very wonderful self. The mitzvah is the Ratzon Hashem. It's the will of Hashem. It's not part of man. It's not part of man. All of your feelings, all of our feelings of being in love and of being afraid, all of the feelings of chesed, gvura, tiferes, netzach, hayit, all of those feelings are coming from man. And therefore they're still part of man's separate existence, part of his ego. It makes him feel a certain way also. But mitzvahs are not like that. Mitzvahs, he says, shehenu ritzoni yisbarach, ritzoni yisbarach u'mekor hachayim, and the ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem, is the mitzvahs rather come from that which is what? The mitzvahs come from the will of Hashem, which is the makor hachayim, the source of life, l'chol ha'olam, for all worlds, v'habruim, and all creation. Sheyorid aleihem al yedei tzimtzum rabim, because Hashem has entered into our lives. You see, here, what I love, I fear, I want, that's all man who's separate from God, turning towards Hashem. But as long as he's in the physical world, and there's still a sense of self and the ego, he can't get beyond 49, which, and halavai, 49 is very good, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, but he can't cross over from here to there. He can't cross over. But he says that's not the case when it comes to doing mitzvahs. Why? Like he says, a mitzvah is the Baruch Shalom coming to us. A mitzvah means this is something which is purely, it's the pnimius of Hashem's will, it's the inner will of Hashem, that sheyorid aleihem ayidei tzimtzumim rabim, of course, that is very, very, very hidden, goes through many constrictions and levels, descends, v'hast upon him concealment, shal ratzon ha'elyon, baruch hu, It goes to all these different, it goes downward until finally he comes into what? Into this thing to put on tefillin, and to give Shabbos, and all the halachas, and the mitzvahs, and so on. A mitzvah shein pnimius v'tzon yisbarach v'ein shom hest upon him klal. In the pnimius harotzen, in the pnimius, there's no hest upon him at all. V'ein shom hest upon him klal. Ein achiyah shebehem dover nifrad b'fnei atzmo klal. Therefore, the pnimius, the inner point of every mitzvah, the inner point of every mitzvah is complete godliness. It's not at all separate from Hashem. Elohu miyuchad v'nichlal b'ritzon yisbarach v'hoyu l'achadim mamish b'yichad gomer. That mitzvah that Hashem has sent into this world, of course it goes down many, many levels till it comes into physical things, into a cloth of the tefillin of a mezuzah, to the parchment. But that will of Hashem, is the that mitzvah rather contains within it the pnimius of Hashem's will, of Hashem's baruch, of elokus, of godliness, without any mixture of your, of the self or anything outside of God. Just one second. What it says in the Svarim, in the Sifrei Chabad, that when it comes to the definition of pnimius and chitzonius, so in America already those words pnimius chitzonius is like a nice way of saying that this is something deep. That's pnimius. Deik chitzonius means it's something which is shallow. Pnimius and chitzonius means, it says in the Svarim, that like you have, let's say, two people are sitting at the same speech. Two people are sitting at the same speech or the same shir, and they hear the mamash the exact same words. The person that hears the pnimius, the inner meaning of that speech, so he is focused on the kavana, on what he meant, the speaker, and the toichen, and the contents of what was going on of the speech. That's the pnimius. That other person who sat at the same shiur, at the same speech, so when you ask him, what do you think? So he'll say, wasn't that a riot, that joke he told about his, you know, mother-in-law? Or wasn't that funny that, you know, or I thought that he was really dressed beautifully. You know, or I thought that it was much too long, or it was too short, I thought this, I thought that, you know. So it's a pella. The first guy, he saw the inner point of the speech. The second guy, all he saw was the levushim. He just saw the outer garments, a joke, and what he got, what the guy was wearing, and what time he came, and when he finished. He just saw the levushim. Right? It could be the same thing. What are most people when you have a bal tefillah? Rosh Hashanah Kippur, you have some guy that could be diving his heart out. So you'll have one guy that'll walk away, his whole year is different. And the other guy walks out and he says, I've got to dive in someplace else next year. Okay, he took an extra 12 minutes. Last year, the guy finished 12 minutes early. I'm getting out of here. The first guy was attached to the pnimius, and what the tefillahs mean, and what that person meant when he was davening. And the second guy, the whole thing is not chitzonius. You know, whether it's singing, and he enjoys it, but within limit, right? After that, he can't take it anymore. So there's pnimius, and there's chitzonius. What the tzaddik, what the Tanya is saying over here is that all of mitzias, all of reality, is in the state of hest upon him, concealment. But now we understand, Hester Panim means that the pnimius is hidden. Hester Panim. It means that the pnim, the inner essence of everything, the pnimius of everything is hidden. So until everything in this world, there are those people that listen in a pnimius way, and those people that listen to the world in a chitzonius way. But this is the state of Hester Panim. Now, when it comes to a mitzvah, when you observe that mitzvah according to Shulchan Aruch, and you observe that mitzvah 100% according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and the Poskim, and you went according to that din 100%, that means it's complete elokus. Now you don't see that as something godly, and we're going to talk about that. Tanya talks about that. That's dafka why it's so great. You don't see it as anything godly. Like somebody gives you a pair of tefillin, and you just see like a physical box. Some leather straps, it comes from an animal. So in your eyes, if you're a chitzonistic person, you just see the animal hide, you don't see anything, right? But lemaisa, a mitzvah is complete elokus without any of the I, of the ani, mixed into it. If a person, therefore, what the Tanya is saying, that if you observe every single halacha, so you get two people, You get one person that says, I love God, I'm Amish in love with him, and I trust him, and I believe him, and so on. But how come we don't keep Shabbos? This is how I keep, I rest on the Sabbath. You have another person, he puts on tefillin that he likes, but he doesn't like the parashas that we have in the tefillin. He likes the parashas. He wants to put in the parashas of Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha. He likes that. It means more to him. He says, this means a lot to me. Right? And we spoke about this the last few weeks. So you got this guy that's sitting with the kosher tefillin, and he's half asleep. Right? You see, he's sitting next to the guy. He's sitting next to the guy that's wearing a parashas, that's wearing tefillin, has an aduchanim. Has a Birchas Kahanim. The guy that's half asleep is saying, this guy with the Birchas Kahanim inside of his tefillin, he is crying, he's got his eyes closed, and he's shuckling like this, and he's so attached to Hashem. Then this is V'nahapechu, not that the guy should sleep in his tefillin, of course not. But the V'nahapechu is that any single time that I plug into Shulchan Aruch, and that I observe a mitzvah according to Halacha, when I do that, it's like I'm pressing a button. It's like when you come into the house and there's an alarm and you go, and you have to get the exact code. And if the code is not right, then the alarm goes off. Every time that a Jew does a mitzvah, it means that he doesn't see, because there's a hast upon him, so he doesn't see what tefillin are. He doesn't see what Shabbos is. He doesn't understand what does it mean, a piece of Torah that he's learning. He doesn't understand but really, really, it's complete, unadulterated elokus, godliness, with no mixture of what? Of the ani, which means, of the I, which means to feel something is very, very nice, and to feel some, and certainly to have ruchnis dikahana, to have spiritual pleasure when you're doing a mitzvah, that certainly is very, very nice. But it's only through a mitzvah that one is able to reach a place, a mitzias, an emesdik mitzias that's beyond man's normal reach. Remember, we were speaking about this before. What's your bechir? What's your free choice? The question is, do you want to feel close to God, or do you want to be close to God? The person that's wearing the tefillin that has an aduchening, he feels close to God. The person that's wearing the kosher tefillin, he's having a hard time keeping his eyes open. By doing that mitzvah correctly, he is close to God. That's the mitzias, because only when only a mitzvah is complete and pure elokus godliness, that crosses over that unbelievable space between heaven and earth. You see, as much as I love God, as much as I feel spiritual, that's me. That's not him. When I do a mitzvah and I follow halacha, even though I don't understand all the pratim, I don't know all the pratim, I don't know why this and why that, but when I observe that halacha, That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has crossed over that space and come into my life and brought me this piece of himself. And when I do that, the second that I do that, and especially when I learn Torah, because when you're learning Torah, even when you're learning a sugya in the Gemara that doesn't mention God, you can go for 20 blocks, there's not one mention of God. Every single second that you're learning that Gemara, your mind is attached to Chochmas Hashem, even though you don't feel it. The reason you don't feel it is because of the Hast upon him. This is what we're going to talk about. This taki is the source of a great amount of pain in our lives, why we don't feel it. And it's a shame. And of course, we're supposed to try to work on that. But the bottom line is that when you are observing the mitzvah, that's what the Rebbe is saying here. Masha enekein, ha-mitzvah shein, pnimius v'tzenius baruch v'ein shem Hast upon him klal. With a mitzvah, the I is not separating between you and God. There's no hast upon him. You don't realize what that mitzvah really is. But there's nothing there that's missing. It's completely, completely one. So that this is how you light the Shekhinah in this world. That's how he's explaining the teaching from the Zohar, from the Yanuka. The fact that a human being is able to, that even a malach can't do this, because a malach doesn't have mitzvahs of ma'asim tovim, but that a Jew alone has the ability to cause that shechinah to shine above his head. And the sad thing is that he never sees the shechinah shining. He doesn't know that it's shining. He doesn't know that when he puts on the tefillin, he's half asleep, he puts on the tefillin, and he tries to keep Shabbos, and he eats the right foods, and he keeps his... So even though he doesn't feel what's happening, a candle's being lit. You know, there's a mashal from the Baal Shem Tov like this. The Baal Shem Tov said that there was a king that he commissioned the greatest craftsman in the world to design his crown. And this artist is working on the crown for years, on the crown. And it's finally finished. And, of course, the completion of the crown depends upon placing the jewel, in the crown. That jewel, that's it. So this is it. He's been working on this crown for so many years. So he comes there, he's holding this jewel, and he's trying to do it, but he can't do it. Why? Because his feelings, his emotions are so powerful, he can't do it. He can't bring himself, because he knows who the king is, and he knows what the crown is, and he knows what the kingdom is, and he can't do it. He can't do it. He tries this 100 times. He can't do it. He's got to have it perfectly right placed. So what does he do? He puts some sort of a covering over the thing, and he just leaves open that little thing to a sheet or something. And he looks out in the street, and he sees Yankel, whatever, a schlepper. He says, Yankel, yeah, come in, Yankel, do me a favor. He says, what can I do for you? He says, do me a favor, take this rock and keep it in that hole. Take this rock and put it over there. You do? Yeah. That's it. So Baal Shem Tov said a moshel. What does that mean? And then the crown is complete. And the crown is complete, the Mashiach arrives. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said. But the Yid HaKadosh said that the Yid HaKadosh said that the simple Jews already did what they had to do. But he says the Cheshuvim, the Cheshuvim are holding back Mashiach because they have too much of an ego. The Pashto Yidden, the simple Jews, they already put the rocks into the crown. He doesn't know for a second. This guy, Yankel, he has no idea what he just did. He doesn't realize that he just made the king. He made the king complete. He just brought the king's presence into the world. He has no idea. And not only that, it's because he has no idea that he can do it. A malach couldn't do it. A malach can't do it. And sometimes the Cheshuvim can't do it. But there is such a thing that Davka, because the person, a human being who's so far from the Rabbanu Shalom, who doesn't realize how every single mitzvah is pure godliness that's descended into his life. If we would know that, we wouldn't be able to put on a pair of tefillin. That's what the tzaddikim say on last week's parasha Baloischos Haneiros, right? It says Lahagid Shvocha. Rashi says Lahagid Shvocha Shel Aaron Shel Yishina. The famous Rashi, right? What was the great praise of Aaron? That he didn't change what Hashem told him to do. He did what Hashem told him to do. So everybody's asking, oh, that's the greatness of Aaron, that he did what Hashem told him to do. So the tzaddikim say, it's also from the Yid, I think. But the tzaddikim say, no, it wasn't from you. It was afterwards. Could you imagine if the Bedichah had to light the menorah? If the Bedichah had to light the menorah, the tzaddikim say, then the oil would have been splattered all over the whole Beis HaMikdash. All of the whole Mishkan, there would have been oil. Right? The Bedichah, when he used to daven, he used to fly and fall, and the Bedichah would have lit the oil, so it would have been all over the place. Lahagid shvachah shal aron shal yishina. That Aaron HaKohen was able to Shaloi Shina. That means that he held in all, but Aaron HaKohen didn't have the Bedichah, but Aaron HaKohen was able, Shaloi Shina, he was able to do Hashem's will, even though he was on fire inside, it didn't affect the Kima Mitzvah Kihuza. He put the jewel in the crown. Because the Bedichah is Madrega, and the Bedichah is passion, like they say about the Be'er Chaim, that they used to have to pour the Kiddush cup at least 6-7 times before he made Kiddush, because they used to pour the Kiddush cup. They used to say that by the Be'er Chaim, they used to stand like 20 feet away, because the Be'er Chaim used to, you know, he was all Shabbos. The Be'er Chaim was, everything was Shabbos by Be'er Chaim. It was all Shabbos. Shabbos he was taller, Mamish, you know, Shabbos. So Be'er Chaim, when he made Kiddush, everybody used to run away. So there's such a madrega, lahagid shvachah shel Aaron shel Yishina, that what? Of course, that Aaron, whether Aaron felt it, but at that point, Aaron's focus was one thing, not my love and not my fear, not how I feel or what this makes me feel, but one thing is to put the crown into, to put the jewel into the crown. This is my avoda, and to do it, and to do it accurately. And therefore, the tzaddikim sometimes even had to hold back, because, you know, we're worried about how do we get ourselves feeling, you know, more. But there were tzaddikim that had, the pashut had to be able to control themselves. So at the time, you said, Shlomo, you want to say a while ago, yeah.
To get to the action, doesn't it come from our love or fear? Meaning a person's bechir is...
No, it comes from what? It comes from being an Eved Hashem. Exactly what the Maharal was talking about. Why? You and I do. We're not Madregas of a half a year. No, we teach our kids.
On a simple level, we have bechir. I cannot do it. I can do it. I do it because...
You do it because you're Makabal Ol Machus Shemayim. And if you feel like it makes you happy, it makes you feel good, that's good. But the reason that you're doing it, that's why you'll see Jews that they can barely even look in a siddur. But they'll be moist and nefesh, not to eat a piece of treif. That's why I've said so many times in shul to people that, you know, the time when you feel most Jewish is davka when you're in a place where you can't be Jewish. That's when you feel most Jewish. So he said, those are the Shabbos is your whole life, you remember. Not the one, not when you're sitting Kishleim HaMelech B'Shaita with your cholent and the kugel. When you had those Shabbos, because why? because at that moment, what you did was Navoidus Eved Mamish. It was Navoidus Eved, and even though it was not connected to any Ahav or any Yira, and these are people who usually can't feel, there are people who can't feel anything for Hashem. But they'll remember that Shabbos with the salami in Tokyo. That they'll remember. They'll remember that Shabbos. So, and then they had, it's fakir. It's not the ahava in the year that brings to the mitzvah. It's the kiyum ha-mitzvah that awakens the ahava in the year of a Jew. It's mamish lahepa. It's the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah that keeps the shechina lit. Not the other way.
What brings into the choice to do the mitzvah? Like to do the action, the simple physical action of putting on the tefillin.
It's a Yerushalayim Avaseinu. This is what I have to do. It could be that he's afraid. It could be on a very basic level. He's afraid of getting punished. He doesn't want it. He wants to be a Yid. Really, really, there's something inside of him. There's no question that there's something inside of him that's compelling him to be a servant. But it's not an emotional feeling necessarily. Just like Jews who are not religious are prepared to do Kiddush Hashem. They'll die Kiddush Hashem. As the time discusses in Yuches and Yutes, they'll die Kiddush Hashem. Without any feeling. They never had any feeling. But after a person's Moshe Nefesh, then he feels something.
A lot of times, like you put on tefillin, like this happens to people. You put on tefillin for like a year or two, and you get your tefillin checked. You found out they're puzzle. And I said, halachically, fine. Chazaka is kosher till the last second. But just conceptually, they're puzzle. You weren't puzzle tefillin for a year or 2 years, or you forgot to say alviyavu, and you said a shemoneh esrei, and then you go back and you say, I came up with something on this. What's pshat in the levishas tefillin bekavana proper, but olamaisi weren't wearing tefillin. Or, saying the Shemoneh Esrei, but it's not a good Shemoneh Esrei. What it comes down to
is as follows. That if Al Pi Din, it has a chalois of something. I'm not going into these specific details of Shemoneh Esrei Tefillin. If whatever the problem is, there's a chalois, like when Chazal say that a person is nenas, if you have his ninus and you couldn't do it, let's say the guy checked the Tefillin and somebody, whatever, he had no way of knowing that something was wrong with it, right? So it's ma'al of a kosov, then it's as if he did it. So then we have to understand what does that mean. So there are tshuvas in the achrayinim, the famous chalkas yoyev and other tshuvas. What does it mean? I couldn't do it, or I was nenas, it wasn't my fault, that it's as if I did it. Does that as if I did it ignite the shechina? Or do we say, no, that can't happen unless what? I mamish do it. So if there's something missing, then the formula doesn't work. Ella, in the Svarma Kedoshim, if a person was following the halacha, I might not be able to say about a guy that never bothered checking his tefillin and couldn't kill us. That might be different from a guy who did what he was supposed to do. So that Mala Olav HaKosov could mean that since he was Meshabed Es Libay, he wanted to do the Ratzon Hashem. So there is such a koyach that the Ribono Shel Olam, that in doing that, he's also pressed a code. But it's not the regular code. And a chanami, it's not the regular code, because the regular code is Hilchas Tefillin.
As opposed to the guy who puts Berkos Kohanim in his Tefillin.
Right, right.
That's not any code.
Nothing from nothing.
Right.
Because it doesn't have, because...
But he also said,
it's not a halais, no halacha. It's a hargosha, it's ethereal, it means nothing. It can't connect to anything. This person has a chalais nahalacha because there's a diyun in achrayinim efshe yav shenayin. No, what does it mean? Ma'alav akosu. He was nenas. He wanted to. As machshava toive. So it says machshava toive. If a Jew wants to do something, he has a good thought. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarfel a ma'ise. The Ribono Shel Olam is mitzarfet to a ma'ise. In other words, there is a chalais. But even I'm not talking about before Kabbalah Chassidus.
It was also because he wanted to do the ratzon.
Beside it, but when the Ribono Shel Olam was revealed through his chachamim that there is a keilu over here, so we have to understand what does the kilo mean exactly, but it is telling us that there is some sort of a chalais, and that means that he's plugged in. It doesn't necessarily mean that the whole place is going to light up, but there is, the plug is in, and there's current. Something's happening. That's my love. But the guy that's sitting with Duchening in there, with the Bichas Kahanim in there, he's not plugged in. He's Michal not plugged in. With the crying and everything. He's not plugged in. It's not happening.
Yeah, I think also just wondering, when you said this idea of 50th level of Tara, that's complete bitul yesh. Does it work the other direction also, like
the
50th level of tumah? So that's also a complete bit. I mean, what is that?
The Racham Kodesh says that we're holding by below 50 now. You know that. Now we could still continue because we have the Torah. The Racham Kodesh says that before they received the Torah, before Kabbalah's the Torah, if it would have gone lower than 49, that would have been the end. But the Racham Kodesh says, we passed 49 a long time ago.
It's very encouraging.
Yes, sorry. Huh?
It's very encouraging.
I find it to be very encouraging. Adarabah, I find it to be very encouraging. that the Shekhinah is able to come with us, especially Chanukah. When you think of it, Lamatim Yasa, what does it mean? Lamatim Yutfachim, that the Shekhinah comes with the Jew, Besoich Tumasai, in the deepest tumah, that the Shekhinah never ever abandons the Jew, even though this neshama has fallen into such a place.
If we do get pleasure from doing the mitzvah, how do we purify our motive to where we're not doing it for the pleasure?
He talks about that a lot, but that's a big Indian by the Baal Tanya, not to fool oneself, not to delude oneself. We're not ready for that yet. You know, we're going to have to finish the parak next time because I want to get, I'm in a chasna, I want to get back to the chasna a little bit to do at least one dance. So it's in Huntington. I'm going to go back. So maybe we'll finish this parak in Tanya, and the second part will take lamish. The next part will take 15 minutes. The end. That's what we did the ikker, and we'll be able to lamid, and we'll be able to lamid vav, which is lamid vav is talking about tchias ames. That tchias ames, and the tachlis is that the physical body should be brought back to life. Not even the end, according to Mekubalim, the end of a Jew is not some sort of a nice being in love, some beautiful thing in a cloud. Just your neshama. The end of a Jew is what? In the physical body, in the physical world. This world, with a body. Not just the neshama, not just the world of souls. Which is where this is leading to. Not like the Rambam.
The Rambam,
Rabbeinu Moshe Ben Maimon? No, the Ramban. Sure, Ramchal says that. All the Mekubalim say, but not the Rambam. The Rambam says, Sadiq Miyoshim after Sem Hashem, right? The Rambam holds the final end is Olam Haba, it's not in this world, but the Ramchal, the Ramban, the Olam Kabbalim.
He says he has made some Olam Kabbalim.
Yeah, but Olam Haba is higher than that. It's after that. At the end, it's going to be. There's no more. There won't be any more Chayi Haguf. The Rambam says there won't be any more physical life. Yeah, but then the higher Madrega is Olam Haba. But the Mekubalim say that there'll be Yemos Mashiach, then everybody will die. Then there'll be a Tchias Mason, and then what? Everybody will die, there'll be some time in Olam Haba, and the Ramchal says that the Neshamas are waiting with great anticipation to be able to come back into the body. That means that the Neshama knows that its higher Madrega is to be in the physical world. So the Neshama, the Ramchal says, in Der Hashem, is waiting to come back to the Guf. And then will be Chai HaGuf, which will be Lo'al Mayad. There'll be physical life forever and ever in the physical body, but in a perfected and purified form. But that's the Tachlis. But the Rambam doesn't hold like that. But all the Mekubalim, Ninnu V'Gomru, all the Mekubalim, that this is the sefer adam is tchias ameisim and maminim b'munus shleim. That in this, in you, the Rambam is wrong. This in the Rambam, I'm not saying it. I wouldn't say such a lash in the Rambam. He was speaking about a certain bechina, but all the mekubalim disagree. Okay, good. We'll continue with Shem and the